Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, I think we were together on screen probably 20 times in the month of January and February. He's Michael Langston, senior recruiting analyst, at the time senior portal analyst as well for WarChant.com. My name is Tom Lang. We welcome Michael back to the fray here on the WarChant Multimedia Networks as Florida State has a giant recruiting weekend coming up this very weekend in Tallahassee. It's called the Legacy Weekend, and so it's time for a live recruiting chat here on WarChant TV. Michael, good evening to you. How are you?
I'm great, man. It's great to see everyone finally and get back to some regularness. I'm excited. It's going to be another exciting year. It's been a interesting, month, but, certainly I'm ready to roll.
It's an interesting time for Florida State in the recruiting sphere as well, Michael, because, you know, this is a group that have proven they're bringing a different caliber of player. I'm talking to the coaching staff, different caliber of player on campus. We saw it last year, like in the secondary, a lot of those guys look different than most of the players they brought in before. First day of practice was yesterday, Michael, and I did a live show with Jeff for a half an hour after it was over, Jeff Cameron, and he was talking about Landon Thomas and Tamir Hickman-Collins and Jaden Parrish, and of course he's talking about some of the guys like Camp Davis and Croman Hawk and some of the young members of the secondary. Like, they just look different at more positions than a defensive back now. And they're on that path, it seems, to another level in 2025. Would you agree with that from what you've seen so far this cycle?
Yeah, I followed it. I've been away and doing stuff, but I've followed everything that's going on recruiting and team-wise. I would say talent-wise, depth-wise, it's probably the most I've seen them have as far as a depth. There's not as many maybe elite guys that they've had, you know, the Keon Coleman's, the Jared Verse, but there's a lot of really strong talent. When you look at just about every position, they're probably not done with adding a few more from that May window that's coming up. But I think overall, from a stack position, you look at it, you know, defensive end, they locked up, they land a bunch of these guys, and I'm watching these guys, they're walking in for practice, and it's like, these look like different dudes than what they've had. And I think overall, from a depth perspective, they are so loaded at just about every position when you look at it, when it goes from receiver to especially defensive end. And even I think the linebacker position is going to look different with a lot of this team. So I think from a depth perspective, it's the best depth of talent that I think they've had.
And in terms of the reputation, you know, Michael, it's only grown stronger about the relationships that Florida State builds. We've seen that with some of the junior weekends they've hosted. We've seen that with some of the winter visits that they've had. This is the big one, though. There was a dead period for a while. They got some kids on campus. They said big things. I'm not asking you to read off the entire roster of who's coming to town this weekend, but how significant of a weekend is it for Florida State? And the blue chip ratio of kids that are going to be on campus, I would imagine it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's very high. There's going to be several 5-stars there. It's a loaded weekend for people that remember, you know, last year when they hosted their Legacy Weekend. That was the weekend Jeremiah Johnson got his brick revealed. Jameis Winston was there. I think Jayshon Corbin was there. So you'll see a lot of former players, I'm sure, that are expected to be there. I think Jermaine Johnson's already there. I think he was out there with the first pitch yesterday for baseball. By the way, shout out to them dudes, man. 19 in a row. I ain't gonna pass you guys up. I mean, you guys are baseball's killing it. But I think overall, just it's going to be a stock group of talent. Really strong running back group that's coming in. 4-star AK Deer is supposed to be there. 4-star running back Brian Lewis supposed to be there. Byron Lewis out of American Heritage. And I've heard there's a good possibility that you'll see, you know, top running back target Alvin Henderson in attendance for this event this weekend. You also have top receiver Jamie French, Vernell Brown, another 4-star receiver. So there's a loaded group. And then in the trenches and the offensive line, really strong group coming in. Zaire Addison, a 4-star offensive lineman. Max Buchanan, another 4-star out of Sanford Seminole. And then Dontrell Glover's the one that I'm going to keep a close eye on for a four-star. And there's several other guys. People can go on the – Matt's done a great job putting together the list, but those are just some of the guys that it's a very loaded group and a very important weekend like it was last year where I look at spring like more of a setting the tone of your recruiting where I know a lot of people probably been disappointed because there's not commitments yet, but it was the same thing last year where – you're showing people what your work is, what you do in practice, what they can see in practice, the way they look. And that's when FSU started to make their move. And then the summer, we saw the big commitments that started to come around, you know, for FSU. So I think it's the same thing where the spring's kind of setting the tone of these kids of reintroducing themselves to kind of, yeah, FSU is that good. They're going to be really talented. But also, it's mainly about how they work and how they what they do in practice and how that connects with a recruiting their families. And so I think it's a massive weekend for FSU to really, you know, get some nice, exciting recruiting momentum going with some buzz. And I think it'll be a really good weekend.
No, you're right, Michael. Yes, in recent years, you've had former greats on campus, Jameis Winston throwing the first pitch to Jermaine Johnson, Brick, and Jamie Robinson was back last year for his pro day. They've got a dozen dudes, but more than a dozen dudes that are going to be either drafted or in deep consideration for undrafted free agent signings for the NFL. Like, right. They can really show it off this weekend. Those kids are going to stick around. And that's the one thing. It's the other side of the discussion that you've had. When they're 17, 18 years old and coming out of high school, whether they're 20, 21 years old and they've entered the portal, the relationships thing has been what you've pounded home saying that this is the difference about Mike Norvell. It's the relationships. Well, Michael, I'm sure it has to feel satisfying on your part when these kids come back to hang out at campus, not if it's just pro day, but they're just looking to be around the program. Yeah. And they're also willing to talk about the relationships factor to the next generation of kids. It seems like that's how a program should be built. And Mike Norvell has gotten it to that next step.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is now, you know, your head coach is going to be there, you know, turn down Alabama. Your staff is one of the most stable staffs anywhere in the country. You have, you know, some of the same guys that are there. Obviously we don't know yet with Ernie Sims, but I think that will be a really, really strong hire for FSU to add into that young group of you have a guy that's really good at development with Randy, but you need some exciting young guys in there to kind of that recruits can relate to, and you have him around those players when they're on campus. You know, that would be a big deal. But I think it's also the product is caught up to just the relationships, which I've pounded home nonstop of your product has shown now where you know, the teams you played, the season you had last year and in the previous year, where your product is going. And I think it's really relationships is something that they built their foundation on and they continue to. It's a big deal for FSU. You don't just – they're not just taking guys just because they're talented. They're going to take the guys that fit what their mindset is of the way they practice, the way they play, the way they, the stuff they do together away from football. You know, they have to fit in that mindset. And I think the main thing with all these guys that they got from the portal was they all have the same mindset. Like it's about winning. It's about work. But it's also about, you have to fit the culture of what they believe in and what they stand for. And that's why these kids play so hard for Mike is he demands a lot out of them. Every practice. I know people can't see the practices, but Mike's very demanding in everything he asks you these guys to do, and that's why he's so dependent upon when he defends these kids of they've done everything I've asked them to do. And I think now it's just about keeping that momentum going you know, as far as the product on the field, and he loves to show off. I wasn't at the media thing for the first time in probably forever, but I'm pretty sure that message was, you know, we appreciate you and you're a big part of what we do, but he understands every piece of what matters to FSU, whether it's coverage of the team or people getting eyes on his product. You know, he wants as many eyes on this product as he can get. And he, and relationships a big part of that. And I think he's going to solidify that and keep doing that. But now I think it changes where the product is now close to equal with the relationships, and now this thing could get scary.
That's the whole thing. It does seem like it's going to that elite high school level, Michael, because if you ever combine that with what they do in the portal, I mean, Florida State's rise will only continue. I don't know that there's a plateau coming. And that's where I think a lot of us get excited, is not just when we're covering on the team side, but you're seeing a list of players like this weekend's. We're going to get to a couple questions in a little bit. Hawaii Knoll says in the chat, read something, Ernie Sims at practice. Was that real? Oh, yeah, Hawaii. He was there yesterday. Photographic evidence. Everybody who was there saw him as somebody actually on a personal level a lifetime ago who hosted a radio show with him in Tallahassee for a hot minute there. That was Ernie, all right. And probably some good news coming. Man, what a career he had and what insight he can bring to the table.
He's a very charismatic guy too. A lot of people don't know, I've known Ernie and their whole family, the Sims family, since I've been doing this for 20 something years. So I know with the family, really, he is a very charismatic guy. He will be a very good guy to have in that locker room, a very good guy for recruits to be around. And it never hurts when you have the number one player in the country, and that's what Ernie was coming out of high school, and he can relate to him so many different levels, and that would be a massive ad and a happy ad for me, just because I talk to Ernie a lot when I see him when he was at USF. You know, he would be over there for the mega camps. He's a guy that's got relentless work ethic. I think there's a lot of exciting things going on, not just with FSU football, but FSU sports in general. I think there's a lot to be excited about. But this, as far as this football team, this is probably the most excited time I've been really wanting to see. When you put all these pieces together, man, how good are these guys going to be? Yeah. You know, when you get your lineup and your roles and everyone fits everything, because I know what the staff is. I know what these guys do as far as development, and I think when you put all this together, it's going to be a special group.
And that's where they're trying to build upon this weekend by fortifying relationships. Yep. They're just trying to keep the assembly line going. And Michael, you know, for Coach Norvell to be able to say, I turned down Alabama and here's why you should come here instead. Yep. Do what I did. Say no to the Tide. Say yes to the Knolls. It's a powerful pitch, and he's got a lot of things that he can lean on. Your questions in the chat we're going to feature basically the rest of the way.
Okay.
After I get maybe one more thing here out of Michael, which is, Michael, if you're going to say that the 2025 class, maybe by needs or by what they're attacking or maybe the talent pool out there, what the best group is, what do you think 2025's recruiting class is going to be defined by in terms of either positions or what side of the ball?
For me, I start the position that I've listed for 2025 from the start, and that's offensive line. I think that's a place that I think they could really kill it. There's several guys that they could certainly add to the fold. I think Dontrell Glover is one that I'm watching closely this weekend. He's already said FSU's his leader. I think there's some good momentum. I think with FSU in that recruitment, there's some really good momentum with Zaire Addison, although there's more teams now entering the mix. I think Clemson's certainly a major factor there, but I think you have a lot of guys that are really talented guys that I think you could add to that. So I think the offensive line and certainly the defensive line, you want to really stockpile that group as far as especially defensive tackle. For me, when I look at it, I think that's an important position that FSU needs to hit on pretty significantly and solid, get two solid top tier guys. You know, let people decide whatever level that they mean, but just top tier guys I think can help you from either the depth perspective the first year or just an impact guys that can help you. I think those are two positions. I think you certainly want to add some linebackers. That's a place that they need depth for, and they need some young, really good young talent in there to help solidify what they already have. Certainly I've talked about, I think they'll add at least one more in the portal from May window. I think linebacker's probably the place I think you'll circle. Overall, those are kind of the positions that I have circled currently.
Nick is first up here in the Heisen Lico Law Firm War Chant live chat tonight. Nick asks, Usmane Kroma, seems like we cooled on him. Any insight on that? What do you think, Michael?
I don't know if there's the cooling more so. He's dealing with a lot of sports at once. I think FSU's in solid communication with him, Nick. I don't think that's slowed down. I think it's more he's been doing basketball for so long. He wasn't able to visit in the spring because of basketball. I still think FSU is high on his list. I think it's more Usman hasn't really visited any place. I think that will pick up. I do think he'll be here in April. When they have either their spring game or he'll come for a practice. So I do think there's activity there. I do feel better about Alvin than I do him. But I definitely think FSU is still in solid contention. I know there's also the thing that FSU has Cam Davis. Cam and him do some similar things. So that could be kind of the hard thing to sell when you're looking for different features of different backs. And FSU and David Johnson does a really good job of adding different features of time of guys. You know, you have Dancy, who's fast last year, and then you have Cam, who's a power but quick guy, quick feet. You know, so I think they love that mixture. So that's kind of the challenging part with Usman. But I definitely think he's a guy that still visits. I think a lot of people led that into, oh, he wasn't at any of the junior days, and the reason he wasn't there is because he was doing basketball. But I think his visits will ramp up. But I do think Alvin's probably more likely than him at this stage, based on, you know, the early feelings with that. But I think Usman's still certainly a guy that's high on their list.
It is kind of nuts, Michael, the variety that they have at running back. And they can have it really in three ways. If you want to talk about the transfers, Roydell Williams is a certain kind of player. Yeah. Jalen Lucas is a burner. And then the holdovers, the veteran types, Lawrence Toafili is a speed guy, although he's more combo. He's got more combo as time has gone on. You know, down at the freshman level, Keziah Holmes is another bruiser. But then at the freshman level, you're right. You got Thunder and Lightning with Cam Davis and Mekhi Dansey. Like, this, man, they really do find a way to blend it together at all levels. And so would you think that in this class they would do the same thing again, try to get one quick guy and then one bruising?
Yeah, that's kind of my mindset that I think they would like to do, is add in more, you know, different type of backs, one physical, one, you know, all purpose that does a little bit of everything. I think Alvin kind of fits that category, where Alvin he is insane. You know, some of the stuff, the numbers he puts up, but I think that's kind of the goal as far as what they love that variety, man. They love that, just where, and because thing is with variety, that means you can play guys at a lot, you know, there's a high rate. These guys are coming fresh in. They can do different things. You can attack teams different ways when you have versatility. So I definitely think they're gonna continue to do that.
More questions for Michael in the live chat. Feel free to pile those in. And no, I'm not sleeping on Sam Singleton. That's another talented running back in the room as well.
Well, I think the thing with Sam is, like, you know, I heard some people comment on it the other day. They're like, yeah, he's bigger than I thought. Yeah, he runs tough. I mean, he was like that in high school, where you look at his frame and you would think he's kind of frail, or he absorbs contact very well. I mean, that's what Sam does really well. So I think that's the thing that will stand out to people, along with his speed. But I think what Sam does really good is, you know, that's an underrated quality, is his power. You know, when he gets initial contact, he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, his frame was larger than Toafili's, I thought, and coming in as a true freshman, that's saying something, because Lawrence has been in the program for a while and is a strong player himself. Timmy asks in the chat, are we the favorites to land Tavion Wallace? Oh,
they're very high up there, Timmy. I'd say they're the team I've heard the most about. I think LSU is also very much in the picture, you know, for him. There's other schools, but I definitely think they're one of the favorites. He's definitely told me every time I've interviewed him that FSU's number one. I do think they're the team I would lean towards, but I still think it's up in the air. It's not like a set in stone thing, but I think they're very high up there, and they covet him very highly. I mean, they've done that from the start. Kind of goes back to the relationship stuff I do, is like, from the very start, when they covet a guy, it sticks with those guys, and I think he certainly falls in that category, and certainly a guy they're very high on, and a big one, an important one. They already have Ethan Pritchard. That's a four-star linebacker that I'm very high on from Sanford Seminole. Now, if you can add another one or two more, that will really take some pressure off Randy, because that Randy does get, you know, and some of it's warranted that you have to have top-tier talent, and they need to get better talent in there at the position. But I think this goes back to my point. If you add a guy like Ernie Sims, that kind of really helps you solidify that room in recruiting.
You're not kidding about the charisma that Ernie has, too. It's 100%. Yeah. So you think that they could take as many as three in this class at linebacker?
Yeah, I think they would. If they're three really good ones, yeah. Say you get a Tavion. Riley Pettijohn is also visiting this weekend. That's probably the top coup de grace of you know, linebackers. That will be tough because he's out of Texas. So, but you never know. I always say when they get him on campus, certainly the feeling switches on how they view FSU compared to how they viewed them before. If they haven't visited FSU, to my knowledge, it's just like he's visited there before, but nothing extensive like what he'll experience this weekend. So, yeah, I think linebacker could be a position that if things fall in place, it could be one of their strongest groups.
Hypnotic is asking, Hypnotic Anonymous, okay, how are we looking for Kalik Lockett? How are things with Kalik Lockett?
Yeah, I visited on March 9th, had a really good visit, talked about, you know, how FSU surged up there. I think it'll still be one of those tough prospects as you're talking about a Texas kid. And we know the emergence of what Texas did last year, played in the playoff, even though FSU, in my opinion, should have been in their slot or somebody else's slot in that four. But they've improved their product, Texas. So they will be certainly really tough, always tough to beat, to get Texas kids. But FSU did what they needed to do coming out of that first visit. He talked about how FSU really moved up a lot. It was the adjectives and the body language was significant when I watched the video, you know, as far as his interview. So I think they're very much in the picture now. I think now the next step is getting him multiple visits. He's talked about coming, you know, back for a practice in April. I think that's kind of almost a generic sometimes response I feel with kids that they say they're going to do it. So if he follows through on that, I think it's a big deal for FSU, really. So it's the follow-up visit. Get multiple follow-up visits. I think that one's going to be FSU. I think FSU's a player, a pretty good player, to I think they're a strong player if there's a follow-up visit. So that's what I would watch, and I'm going to check with Kalik and see if something's set up and see if he's visiting and following through on that visit that, you know, he likely does in April or an official visit. So I do think they made a strong move. Now it's about the, you know, the follow-up trip.
Yeah, agreed on, you know, the playoff designation, but that doesn't matter to kids. And when you have a young man named Manning in the wing, the quarterback, that also does some recruiting for you by itself. We're going to ask Michael some questions here in just a second. Lee's got one on the coaching staff, but I do want to take a moment to thank our chat sponsor tonight, and that is Heisen Leica Law Firm. Attention, Florida, are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Legal Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Legal Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLegalLawFirm.com. Heisen Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices Tampa, but serving the entire state of Florida. Thank you for their support. Look at that. That timed out perfectly. You can't do it much better than that. Lee Fields puts in the chat from the Facebook side, Pat Surtain paying off in defensive back recruiting and development. Yeah, Michael, in one short year, I bet Pat Surtain probably can claim Jerrion Jones as one of his prized pupils. That's a dude who's going to get drafted, and we didn't know that he was going to see the field last year. If you can, just expound on Pat Surtain's his presence on the trail and what he's doing for Florida State.
Phenomenal job. Does an incredible job. Another guy that I think is very energized-wise in a different way of how he connects with his message. He's very good technically. Knows a lot of technical stuff. He's very good at how the kids respond to him. Obviously he's been there, done that in every level. I think that resonates with a lot of guys. He ain't young. Young guys are something that kids, you know, look to and it can attract to better or even stronger in a stronger way. And I think Pat does a really good job. Look no farther than Jerrion Jones. You mentioned Renardo Green, Zari Thomas. Zari's already killing it out there in spring, it sounds like. I've heard he's done really well. So I just think from a standpoint, it's a big boom in, as far as in development and in recruiting. He's doing even better than what I thought, because I thought there would be some adjustment period since he hadn't done that. And he coached the Dolphins, but he hadn't done that since he's been at American Heritage. And, you know, we're already seeing the effects of his recruiting, of the guys he landed, you know, last year, like Kai Bates, Charles Lester, all these talented guys he landed in just 1 year. And he's already making a nice splash as far as just his impact on future classes. So I think overall, he's been a big big boom for FSU. And I already said it last year, if I was Patrick, I'd be going there like, hey, let's talk about a contract extension or something, some kind of bonus or something, because he is killing it. I mean, he is doing a hell of a job, Lee, and I think it shows not just in the recruiting, but also in the development even more. I think the development has been out of this world.
Rick says, welcome back, Michael. He says, good to see you. It. So does Jane. And K-Dog says the same thing. And Hawaii Noel, he goes a little bit more soulful, Michael. Hey, it's the James Brown, FS recruiting. Good to see you back, sir. So
yep, we're happy to be back. I'm happy to be back. Certainly, I've already explained the situation on the boards, but you know, just it's good to be back. For those that are wondering, my wife is doing really well, so we appreciate your prayers and your thoughts and all that stuff. She's doing good, and she just brought me a new Xbox, so that's how she makes herself feel good, as she does stuff for me. But she's doing phenomenal. We're doing phenomenal, and we're now ready just to get back into kind of our general regular lives.
If there's any Halo in your future, Michael, just hit me up. I'm still kind of nasty at that game, even though it's for olds now. Nick is asking for safety, since we were just talking about defensive backs. Who do you think we're in a good spot for with Duke Johnson going to Alabama? Hayward, Blair, what do you think?
Yeah, Blair, Jaden visited, I think, around early in the spring. I think that's a guy that is certainly very high on FSU. Hayward's another one that I think LaGonza, I forget his last name, I'm drawing a blank. That might be who he's talking about, LaGonza, but I think LaGonza's the one I think they're sitting in a pretty good spot with. So I think there's several options that they're in position for. But as I said, the spring is more, it's early. Yeah, they lost out on Duke Johnson, but at the same time, they understood, look, other teams get involved in the spring. Teams are going to get commits, but there's going to be, I think, a very high level of decommits throughout the season. A lot of these kids commit, and then it's kind of a thing to take the pressure off, and then later they get into the real decisions, as we saw with a lot of guys, both positive and negative with FSU down the line. But I think I wouldn't read too much into whether you get early commits or you don't. I think they'll be more than fine at a DB position. Those are a few guys, but I'll go into a lot more. I'm going to do a 10 to watch in a few days, just kind of get back in the swing and then kind of talk about positions. And then maybe I'll start doing another new hot board where I really break down the defensive back class. I know we haven't done one since I left, so I'll get into those positions specifically of DB, and so everyone can kind of know where they sit with each position.
I'll flip it over to offense for a second. Al wants to know, unless that's AI, Woody, that'd be very modern AI. Kobe Howard committing at the end of March. That's a wide receiver from down south at Chaminade. How are the Noles looking for Kobe? What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're a very strong factor, a strong player, visited in the spring as well. That's a guy that they've shown they liked. I think Miami is a team that's heavy in there. Florida's been there some too. Florida State's always been the team that's mentioned the most. So I think certainly that's one I'll have to check on. But I think last checked, and that was a week ago, I think FSU side felt pretty good about where they sat. But at the same time, they knew it wasn't a done deal, or they've been told hey, he's coming. So I think it's more just keep feeling out, because I don't think he's actually told anybody as far as a school, where he's going. But I definitely think FSU's a strong player.
Our own Matt Lasser checks in, says, welcome back to Michael. Just checking in. Hope everything is hyped for the weekend. Matt's been doing yeoman's work for us on the website right now. He's been outstanding. He's already a good reporter, but Matt has been, he's been on it, Michael, and you guys returned to form this weekend.
Yes. Matt's been unreal. I can't say enough great things about the job he's done, and certainly doing stuff at a tough time, and because he's sacrificing a lot of probably his weekends of stuff he has to do that he can do, and he's doing it to help me out and understand that I wasn't around. We did communicate a lot. I will say that, guys. We did communicate often if there was something going on. And
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But Matt's killed it, done a great job with the updates. And I think he did a recruiting wrap from one visit weekend, the March 9th weekend. So I think certainly he's more than held his own as far as, you know, keeping all the recruiting stuff going. And now I feel like I'm actually doing something to help. So, you know, we'll be there together and should be a really exciting weekend.
Here's a guy that if there was an interview Hall of Fame, like if I could just grab this kid for this class because he interviews well, it's like the Elijah Moore of 2025. Elijah's a great interview. I know what Greg's asking about. He's talking about Gavin Nix from IMG, the linebacker.
Right.
He's talking about Gavin Nix. Where's Florida State staying with that kid? I was so impressed.
Yeah. How can you not be when he's mentioning stuff that a lot of kids don't mention? You know, a lot of kids don't talk about coaching stability in person. Now they'll talk with their friends, but they usually don't talk to the media about it. And he was very open about it, that he loves that. And I think the addition or future addition of Ernie will certainly play a big role to help FSU. I think Florida is a team I hear a lot about, and I think it's definitely an in-state battle, but I don't think it's like a set in stone where he's leaning one way or the other. I think some days it's FSU, and then some days it's Florida from what I hear. So those are two teams I hear the most, but I think they're very much a factor. He's going to visit FSU again on the 30th of this month. So I think you'll certainly see him back on campus. I think every time he's here, you see a shift in the excitement level of how he feels about FSU. And so I think FSU is certainly a major player. Florida has certainly got some different inroads that they have, because I think he's originally from Gainesville. So that helps them. But at the same time, product matters, and what you do on the field matters. And Gavin's looking at a lot of these things, and he's mentioned that even in his interviews, and along with the stability. And FSU certainly fits all those characteristics. And I think it's really just keep doing what you're doing, and then we'll see what happens on the 30th when he visits, because I think that's a major, major visit date for him.
You just made my day. I didn't know he was coming around on the 30th of the month. Gavin Nix be in town. Outstanding. And you're right, Michael. Florida's got to play that schedule this season. Like they got to go play that 12-game schedule. And I don't know if you saw what they did today at the SEC. They said the 2025 schedule are the same eight opponents. You're just flipping home and away. So it's not going to get much easier for Florida 2 years from now.
No, it's hard. And they got to go to at Texas and along with the regular dudes that they play. So it's going to be an extremely difficult season for them. So FSU can certainly, looks like, can capitalize on that. The good part about that is it attracts recruits when you have top games all the time. But if you're losing, it doesn't really benefit you a lot. So I think FSU could certainly capitalize on that, especially if they can go in there and beat Florida for the third straight year.
Z-Chan coming in strong as usual. Thank you, Z-Chan, so very much. The official DMD of Orchant TV. He says, so, early hot take, and I won't hold you to it. Where do you think we will end up in recruiting ranking for 2025? Give me a number, not a range. Thanks, Michael and Tom.
A number. Okay. I would say for me, 6 or 7. I think that's attainable. I'm not setting that as the absolute, but I think it's an attainable number, because we saw the boom last year with FSU in the summer. I think they'll get that same kind of boom, but I think there's also an edge to it that kids like about FSU, that they do feel they got hosed, and if FSU goes out there and does a similar thing, a product, and goes out there and dominates again and wins majority of their games, I think it's going to attract a lot of kids to be, you know, you want to be that kids love that edge team that, you know, just everyone seems to almost push to the side. Like, you know, we don't want those guys in there because they could be a problem, you know, and, you know, kids like that to be kind of the us against the world type of team. And I think FSU fits that mantra of, you know, people, you know, certain people don't want them to be good, you know, or certain people don't want them to have an opportunity to go out there and show what they are. And so I think it resonates with a lot of kids. So I think if they win, and certainly they have some early games where they can go in there and make a big splash, you know, with a lot of these kids, you got the big Clemson game at home. I think it will be major for FSU. You certainly play Florida, you know, at home. So you're going to have all these games. And then of course the game in South Florida is always big with recruits. So I think, and then the Notre Dame game's a national game that they can really, you know, put the foot down that I look at, that I circle. That's the game where nationally, I think last year it was LSU, this year Notre Dame, you win that game, man, kids are going to really gravitate to FSU.
Thank you, Z-Chan, for the question. We really appreciate it. And great answer, Michael. Number six. Okay, now related to that, Hawaii Noel, where do you think Bama comes in the ranking? Got to be a big drop-off. So what are you hearing about Alabama on the trail right now compared to what they were with Nick?
I still think they're doing pretty well. They have some really good assistant coaches that do a really good job, and Bama's still Bama until we don't see that bit side beside of Bama. But I think it's really just there's going to be a lot of excitement about Bama going in the spring and summer into the season. But if we see some drop, you know, where the product isn't as consistent as you was, I think you could see some drop off. I wouldn't say big drop off. I think it's kind of a wait and see of how big the drop off would be based on their product. But yeah, if there's some product struggle where we see them lose like three games, yeah, there's going to be some chinks in the armor, kind of what we, some of the similar stuff we saw with Clemson. Clemson had some similar chinks in the armor. Dabo is totally against the portal. I think that's a stupid move personally, because you have to adjust to the climate of what you have in college football. I think with their new staff, I think Kalen's a good coach, but does he fit everything of what the Bama way is and what they do? How does he play against these teams that are top notch every week? So I think it's really just going to be what their product looks like.
Hypnotic about defensive end, defensive tackle recruiting. You said that you like the trenches, the way that they're going so far. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of talented, explosive guys that they're after. Some of them you're even visiting this weekend. I think one local one is Jalen Wiggins. That's the one I think they're still very much involved with, kind of a mixture defensive tackle, defensive end. Jarquez Carter's another one they're very high on. They're battling Florida. I think it's a Florida FSU battle for sure. That's one that I've been high on for 2 years out of Newberry High School, which is right next to Florida. So, you know, Florida's very much in it. Jared Smith is also visiting this weekend. FSU's been really consistent with him. I think Zion Grady's one that's not over. That's one that FSU's still going to be heavily involved with. So there's a lot of talented defensive ends. I think they'll do well. I think they'll get two really solid top-tier defensive ends, personally, in my opinion, of based on kind of what their product is really their best-selling, what they can do. JP does a great job of showing what FSU is, but their product, not just the product coming up this season, but the product of that NFL draft, that they could certainly show that. Jared Verse goes high. Certain other guys go high. I think it really can make a big move. Plus, this group they have coming in this year with these defensive ends can really sell their product hard. So I think you're going to get some talented guys that are going to be in the fold, you know, for FSU during the season. But I think there's early on, they're still on some, they're in some pretty good spots with being one of the top teams for a lot of these kids that you know, I just covered a few minutes ago at defensive line.
Chi-Town Noel, he asked this at 6:30. I know you mentioned the name, but I figured we'd get a question. Jamie French. Jamie French. What's going on with the all-everything wide receiver?
The French that's named with two Fs. Yeah, Jamie, I think I would say a slight lead to Ohio State for him, but I think it's close. Obviously, it helps. Tramiel's committed to FSU. Tramiel will also be here this weekend. That helps when you have your guy there. I think he really loves Coach Dugans. I think he really, really loves Coach Norvell. He really loves this offense. Top-notch guy. You know, can do a little bit of everything. I think he's a guy that, you know, like I said, going into this thing, I think Ohio State is the perceived leader from everything I've got from Intel, but I definitely don't think it's a major large lead. I think FSU has a chance to really make a surge for this weekend. So this is the first time I think Jamie will get a chance this year to see how they practice, how they look, how these receivers look, how the, you know, the offense is going to look, and just, you know, his feelings regarding that, because we know what Ohio State does with receiver. It's pretty natural. Everyone knows how really good they are with that position. But I think this is a chance for FSU to show off their product. And I've said that constantly today, of it's really important for these kids to get eyes on what they do, you know, and that really, really shifts things when you do that.
Yeah, and I got to think, Michael, one specific player who can help. I mean, Florida State's got a lot of dudes at receiver, you know, and some that are from the program in terms of recruiting, Hakeem Williams and Destin Hill, to name just two. But I got to think Malik Benson is going to be awesome for Florida State in a lot of ways to show off the product. Michael, did you know he would be this much of a cultural leader for Florida State as a essentially a one-and-done player?
No, you never truly know. It kind of reminds me of the recruitment or the expectation of when Trey Benson got there. You know, it was kind of like, okay, this guy looks the part. We hear he's fast, but we haven't seen anything. And then he gets out there and you immediately see it. And Trey was really good as a leader in a different way. You know, Trey wasn't a big vocal guy, but he would just hit the way he worked really impressed people. And I think Malik's doing kind of the same thing on from the receiver, you know, standpoint, where you know, he's really standing out from a skill standpoint, but also from a leadership standpoint of holding guys accountable to, you know, what the standard is. And like I said, it goes back to the portal. It's not about, I'm sure there's more productive guys from a stat standpoint, but you have to get the right guys that fit what you're going to do, and guys that have chips on the shoulder, guys that have a mindset of dominating and winning, and it's a standard to what they're doing. And I think all these guys fit that, but certainly having Malik and these other top guys, I think it's going to be a big, big boom for FSU with recruits when they watch these guys, you know, that they've seen in other places. And I always say, when you get guys that haven't done a lot at other places, you know, like the Trey Bensons and potentially a Malik Benson, who stats didn't really, there was kind of a small sample size of stats, and they go out there and they ballooned at FSU. It really moves the needle with a lot of these recruits.
That makes sense. And if he's 80%, 50% of the player that he is as an interview, we know that how athletic he is, but like, if he's a football player at that level, oh man, Florida State just hit another humongous home run. Get down or lay down wants to know, since the recruiting quote unquote no-no, have we been just as aggressive with pursuing offensive line on the trail?
Yeah, that's the position I highlight at the start when Tom brought it up. That's a place that they push hard. But at the same time, I've said this about FSU, the way they recruit, they don't hound kids nonstop where they're calling them every second, but they do get them in for visits. And when they're visiting there, they're certainly targeting them. So yeah, they have a lot of high level guys that they're pursuing. Get down. It's a very important position this year. They want to really load up on young guys, because we've seen what they did in the portal. They have a majority of these guys back from what they had last year. So you really want to stockpile that young group. So this is a big year. This is a year that I was always told from my FSU circles that this was the 2025 class was the one in the offensive line that they really want to make a big splash with. So I do expect them to heavily push for a lot of top guys.
Lee asks, and he says, one last question. I'm fascinated by this one. These are the things I love to hear about. Coach Norvell says the current players on the roster don't care about the FSU ACC saga. Do the recruits care to any level that you know of, Michael?
That's a good question, Lee. I think the recruits' families care. I don't think a recruit per se does, because I think the recruit sees what the team is, and they're kind of like, you know what? We know they're going to be in a good position and a good place. They're going to be in a good conference. But I think it's more the families are like, they're more intrigued by it, where if they say we hear like later, before the season that FSU is going to the Big Ten or SEC, yeah, it's going to make a big surge leading from the starting from the families and then over to the recruits, because then we recruits more like we got to see it with our eyes in front of our face. Families are more like speculation of where they're going to be, you know, in the future. So I think really it's more so the families, but it definitely translates, and I'm sure it trickles down to, you know, the recruits to a certain degree, but I think it's more so, you know, with the families. And I think it's certainly a good thing when you're coming off essentially a 13-0 season, and you're probably going to be the hottest free agent out there as soon as this, you know, yuck stuff gets worked out between the ACC and FSU and whoever else is leaving. I think it was a big situation yesterday with Clemson, you know, filing their suit. I think that's a big deal. I think there's other teams that are probably going to follow suit, and that's only going to speed it up faster. So I think it's still essential for FSU to get out of this league. I think it's essential for them to do it as quick as possible. And I do think it'll give them a nice big boom once, even if they don't say I'm going to any conference, it's just, they won't be in this league. I think it really makes a significant boost for them.
Short question. Do you think the Big Ten's reputation in recruiting circles, even if it's with families, is as strong as the SEC, or is it just the SEC is above it and you're still going to have a little bit of a perception battle if, say, Florida State was in the Big Ten and not the Southeastern?
I think the gap is closing, Tom. I think it depends on the coaches and the team of who it is. I think there's certain people, like with Michigan and Ohio State, yes, they can compete with those teams. There's no question. There's other teams. That's the question with, there's not as much depth when it comes to other programs, where I think the SEC can sell everyone because they play, majority of them play each other. So they can say, hey, we play this team, we do this, so we're in this league. I think depth perspective, the SEC is still stronger, but I think the gap is closing. I think what the Big Ten needs is more teams that get close to the way recruits feel about Michigan and Ohio State. Once they get to that point, it's going to be right there with the SEC, if not even a little higher. But I like, you know, certainly people would ask me many a times, like, where would you rather go? I think geographically it's a no-brainer. You want the SEC because it makes it easier to recruit. It makes it easier to travel for teams. But from a culture standpoint, I see more of a FSU and these Big Ten teams because of the culture of what FSU is built on. FSU's blue collar. A lot of these teams in the Big Ten are blue collar type teams, and that fits more FSU, where SEC's more, it means more stuff, more egotistical stuff. But I don't think FSU would be upset with either one. I think FSU would take either one and be excited about it. But I don't think the Big Ten is as far behind as some people suggest, you know, they are, as far as perception around recruits.
Mike Norvell had to believe we're getting into one of those two places to come back to. That's just you read the tea leaves there. I don't think he was coming back to stick around the ACC for very long. We go to the Villages, Wes in the Villages. What's up, Noel fam? Don't forget to hit that thumbs up. Thank you for doing the job for us, Wes. Always, always go, Noles. Michael and Tom, I'm working, so I don't know if this has been asked. He wants to get down to brass tacks, Michael. How many commits do you think Florida State gets this weekend?
Yeah, I don't think there's a set number. There's not several guys that told me, hey, I'm committing, I'm coming this weekend, I'm going to commit. I do have a few on my mind that I'm eyeing. One I've already mentioned earlier, and Dontrell Glover, offensive lineman. I think that one's kind of teetering right there. That's one I'm going to keep a close eye on. The other one is committed to another school, is DB Dallas Golden. I think he's committed to Oregon. That's a guy that I think FSU's made some really strong strides with. I think that's a guy that to keep an eye on. And there's several other guys that they could certainly make a move for. I think Zaire Addison adds into that. I think they could really do some work there because he loves Alex Atkins. There's a big push there. I think you could see, you know, just certain guys. There's several guys that are visiting this weekend, like Max Buchanan, even Byron Lewis. Byron reached out to me. Byron knew I was on vacation. I wasn't even back yet. Byron hit me up. It's like, hey, multiple times in maybe 2 or 3 days, Byron said, I'm going to be in Tallahassee this weekend. So it tells me, like, he's really excited about this trip of being around this FSU team again. So I think that's certainly there's some certain guys that keep in mind just to see how it goes. I don't think there's anybody per se that's told me they're for sure committing, but those are kind of some guys I'm kind of going to watch to see how it goes.
Briley is a concern about early portions of the recruiting calendar, yeah. Like early in the cycle. He says, yeah. Is there a specific reason that early cycle recruiting with blue chip talent is not fruitful year after year?
I think, you know, I mentioned this earlier, Briley, that a lot of what FSU does is of certainly they build, it's almost like a crescendo. They start in the spring and certainly you want to get guys in there to get familiar and do junior days. And so they can see kind of the interaction with the players and interaction. They can interact with coaches and it's kind of just to present kind of what they are and who they are. And then the spring's more like, this is the product we are. That's when they start making their moves like this product on the field. So it takes a little longer compared to, you know, other teams, Briley, because FSU's fair or not, and probably unfair, they have to prove themselves as to their product because we're still in year three. You know, it's 3 years that will be good. You still had some average years to build this up. And so there's still going to be questions, you know, hey, this is a consistent pattern. All the recruits love and their families love the fact that the stability of the staff just want, you got to keep it moving consistently, you know, because you got to remember the Georgias and the Alabamas, even though Alabama's replacing a coach, they've been doing it for six, seven, you know, a lot of years in a row. Same with Ohio State, same with Michigan. Those teams have been good for a while. So you still got to keep your consistency of the product. And that's why it probably takes a little longer. Plus Mike's staff's not from the state of Florida. So it takes a little longer for kids to see it for their eyes and do the product each year in the spring. But they're going to do that. You know, in the spring, we always see a big boom in the spring of kids are blown away about how they work. And then they got to experience how they work. Cause you got to remember some of these 2025 guys, yeah, they might have seen them on the field play, but they want to see what the product is when they go practice. Cause that's when you see a lot of what people are and what they do. So I think, Briley, that's why it takes longer for them than compared to a lot of other programs.
Well, and as you know, Michael, I know, like, the reason they schedule afternoon practices in the spring is so they can show off practice in that period of time. Like they want mornings because it's about business in the fall, but they want afternoons so they can get kids up here to come see practices in the spring. So that's part of the bigger picture that they're playing there. Last couple of questions, Garrett PCL in the Heisen Legal Law Firm chat. Michael, are you surprised at all with how Camden Fryer has been showing out in the weight room and practice fields?
No, I'm not. I said that sometimes, you know, because I watched him when he was at the elite camp, and I mentioned this several times that he was one of the best receivers I saw. What Camden has, and his dad didn't have this, like his body control when the ball's in the air is just different. His dad did it a little bit, but I haven't seen too many guys that were in the high school realm. So I'm not surprised he's been mentioned so much because he's the guy that he runs fast, but the way he comes out of his routes, he's so much in control when he's in the air catching the ball. He knows how to control his body in the air to catch ball. Him doing in the weight room's not surprised. A very strong kid. I know Matt was a big believer in that stuff of building your weight up, and he's coached under Brian Allen. So Brian knows, you know, a little thing about weightlifting. You know, Brian was really big in weightlifting. So I'm not surprised that he's doing so well. And I'm definitely not surprised from the football aspect of how quickly he can catch on to things. Cause he was in a situation last year where he just didn't have a quarterback, you know, in high school, but I watched him a lot and he gets open a lot. So, you know, Canham's going to be a guy that's a problem because, as I said, his body control as a receiver is one of the best out of that whole class. And that's saying something because that's some really good receivers. But he has incredible body control.
Yeah, Elijah's good in that department. That is saying something. Wow, okay. Yeah. He's been turning heads. Everybody that went out there yesterday said it, from our staff as well. Second to last question, get down or laid down. I like this one. That's why I'm going to make this the second to last one. Michael, I need your honest opinion. I didn't see DJ Lagway as this generational talent in his film. Am I just a hater? Well, what do you think about Lagway?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I'll give some positives and I'll give some negatives. I mean, the positives are, he's freakish. Very tall. He's got the frame that you love. His arm strength is very good. I do think he's pretty raw as a passer, even though he's putting up these gaudy stats in Texas. I think from a passing standpoint, there's some raw areas where he'll have some growth to do as far as that. But yeah, he's got the stuff you look for. I think certainly when you watch a lot of his stuff, I mean, AR was the same way out of high school. AR was pretty raw. I think at one point Florida was talking about moving the tight end, but you know, AR, it kind of slowed in. Now, will we get the coaching that he had when AR was there? You don't know, because there's difference of stats. But overall, I think he has a high talent, but it's going to take time. There's a lot of stuff in development, because I gave you the positive, and I'll give you the negative. He went to Elite 11, really struggled there, you know, because you're doing a lot of technique, mechanical stuff, wasn't as good as the other guys. So it will take time as far as his mechanics and development. I think playmaker-wise, I think he will be a guy they probably use and throw out there of certain plays that they feel like, hey, he's an electric player, put him out there and make some plays. Even the Under Armour game, he wasn't even the top guy that was mentioned in the game. Now, practices, we heard some good stuff, but from a game perspective, didn't hear as much. So I think he'll take a little more time than a lot of, I think, his Florida fans want to. I don't think it makes you a hater. I think it just recognizes that there's some growth to do, you know, as far as his technique and magnifying what that skill set is.
Last question is from Randy, and it's about a potential flip. He's a little concerned about Javion Hilson, the defensive end. Do you think Bama can get him to flip back,
Michael? Yeah, he's coming back to FSU in April. I think it'll be tough because FSU was his favorite team growing up. I do think, you know, Alabama's involved. I think his worry is more so because he visited there, I think, a few weeks ago. Certainly, you know, anytime Bama's involved, you worry some with that. I still think they're in a fairly good spot with him, but I do think there's competition. I think he visited UCF as well. But, y'all have to deal with the competition. But assuming he follows through on the visit in April like he says he will, I think FSU's still in a good spot, you know, just where they sit currently. Certainly a guy they value highly. They covet highly, and you know, as long as the communication, the visits keep happening, usually they stick with the team that they're with. But I think the product on the field is also something to watch for FSU to continue doing that product. You don't want to give Alabama a reason to put their foot in the door and really make a push if your product's not as strong. So I think FSU's going to have to continue to keep, you know, their product good, but I think they're still in a good spot, at least currently now with Javion.
Thank you to everybody in the chat for your questions tonight. We really appreciate your participation in the show, especially Z Chan. Thank you for the contribution. But everybody advancing the discussion, it looks like Michael's in midseason form, everybody. He's got all the answers, and there's going to be more answers to come as Florida State hosts a legacy weekend. It's a busy-ass weekend for the staff, Michael. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the coaching staff. You got practice. You got pro day. You got recruits coming on campus. It's almost like three generations. The future NFL players, the past Noles, the modern-day kids, and then the young guns who are coming in. It's a busy weekend, so what can folks expect on WarChant.com, WarChant TV?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. You have the pro day that I'm sure there's a few recruits that will come over just to watch it. And then they'll have some where, you know, there's a presentation part of FSU where probably in the morning we'll see a lot of this is what FSU is. Let them sit in some meetings. Let them experience kind of just being around the coaches and how the players interact with their coaches. So you'll have that part aspect. I'm sure they'll have some fun activities that they'll do just for the recruits. They always have that. They have the meet and greet. I don't know how they'll work that. They usually do it in the IPF. I don't know how they'll do that, you know, juggle it. But I think they do different activities to make it. So there's a lot of stuff that will go on. Then you have the FSU practice, who I think is the coup de grace of all of it, where once you see the practice, kids get it. That's the exciting part. And so there'll be a lot of coverage, certainly. I'll be out there both Friday and Saturday. We'll certainly have all the coverage of, you know, the impact that FSU had in this weekend. Hopefully they get some commitments and get some nice juice rolling. But I think it'll be a very positive weekend. But that's kind of what we have going on. So either before that or after that, I'll probably do a 10 to watch and then do a hot board later, you know, next week or something. We'll see what I can do to kind of get you guys caught up on kind of where they sit with every position. But I think it'll be a very exciting weekend. And one that's probably the most stuff they do is the Legacy weekend. That's why they make such a big deal about it.
So one last thing before we go, you can see it in the chat right now. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, there's a link to a new YouTube channel. We've got so much coverage. Tomorrow, for example, you've got pro day interviews. There's eight Knolls being interviewed ahead of their pro day. Jordan Travis, Johnny Wilson among them, but eight future pros that are being interviewed in the morning. You got practice in the afternoon. We've got recruiting this weekend plus practice footage. So you see a link in the chat right now. It's called War Chant Press Room. This is a second YouTube channel that we have because there's so much content coming in. You know, there's a baseball team that Michael mentioned. They're 19-0.
Oh, yeah.
We got to make sure that those videos are up as well. So we've got so much content. This is a new place that you can find extended footage. In fact, director Ben Spicer has 12 minutes of practice film that we didn't release yesterday on the channel.
Nice.
That you can find on War Chant Press Room right now. So the link is in the chat. Subscribe to it. You're going to want to monitor both because we're going to be having a lot of things over the next few weeks. Michael knows it. This is like when five things happen at once. Yeah. So that is where War Chant Press Room comes from. For Michael and Director Ben behind the scenes, my name is Tom. We appreciate everybody tonight. And Michael, welcome back, man. It was great to talk to you for this last hour.
Anytime, buddy.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time on War Chant TV. Remember, Wake Up War Chant coming up tomorrow, live 8 p.m. Jeff Cameron Show, 1 o'clock. Practice in between. We'll see you next time.